has a beard. Running to me a crying when it throws you out. Running to me a crying on your own again. You got that pure feel, such good responses, but the picture has a mustache. You come into me with that soulful look on your face. You come in looking like you never ever done one wrong thing.
Pain in the Morning. 6/16/2020. That doesn't wake you up. Nothing does. Headline, two COVID positive hairstylists served 140 people. Not one customer was infected. What? I thought this was like everyone was going to die. I feel like I'm in this song. Many fantastic colors. You're all going to die in 2 weeks. We need to flatten the curve. They should rename this song Flatten the Curve. It's hard to imagine the scam that we've all been a part of. The rainbow has a beard, yeah. The rainbow has a beard. Yeah, it's not the only thing that has a beard these days. Anyway. Two COVID positive hairstylists served 140 people. Not one customer was infected. 140 customers. This is in Missouri. Oh, boy. Two Missouri hairstylists saw dozens of customers while symptomatic with COVID-19, but did not pass the disease on to either customers or coworkers. The Springfield Greene County Health Department announced earlier this week that the incubation period for 147 people potentially exposed to the coronavirus had passed. Little pavement, cut your hair. The health department began monitoring the group after two stylists at the local Great Clips were found to have worked while symptomatic with COVID-19. The officials put 140 customers and seven other employees on notice for potential exposure.
Now you guys are going to need to disinfect those scissors and clean up those clippings. I think you're all going to die. King Fauci said you might die, so I have to be careful. We have to get out there and keep an eye on you guys so you don't infect the entire world. You guys will be patient zero at Great Clips. Is it still $9 to get your hair cut at Great Clips if you are infected? No. Hold the wire for a second. I'm always wrestling with this microphone. My favorite pastime. What happened to the 2 weeks where we were all going to die? If they didn't flatten the curve, we're just going to hang out for 2 weeks. Now, what is it, going on 4 months? I can't keep track. I'm no math genius, but I know if you have 140 people that were tested, 147 people from a haircut place, and none of them got deathly ill or even ill.
We may have all been part of a scheme. I'm being kind, of course. I think you've heard me say before, we've all been played. So, what's his name? Tucker Carlson. Say that last week. I'm like, hey, Tucker, where you been? Must be a pretty wild cocktail circuit, buddy. We were saying that on here 2.5, 3 months ago. I mean, better late than never. But where you been? Oh, yeah, plugs. Shout out to everybody out there on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. Log on there. That's how you can support us. We got the More Pain show coming tonight to subscribers only. And two podcasts coming tomorrow, Pain in the Morning and the regular Big Wednesday podcast. We appreciate the support on there. It makes a big difference. Like I've said it a million times, I'll continue to say it. It's what makes the difference of us keeping the lights on and being able to do fantastic analysis, like real analysis, and talk to real people, not these quote-unquote journalists who report on what people tweet. I don't even know what's going on in journalism anymore. We just keep our head down and we do our own thing. I can't pay attention to the insanity of these people. So we appreciate the support there. What do we got up next? Headline, de Blasio. Contact tracers not asking about participation in protests and riots. Well, that's good. What's the music we got? I guess they don't like their job. These contact tracers who signed up, it seems like they might already be disgruntled. Time for a little Johnny Paycheck.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
Yeehaw.
A woman done left and took all the reason I was working for.
New York City coronavirus contact tracers are not asking people about the participation in mass protests as officials attempt to contain further outbreaks of the virus. No person will be asked proactively if they attended a protest or a riot, really. A spokesman for Mayor Bill de Blasio said, if a person wants to proactively offer that information, there is an opportunity for them to do so. Contact tracers will instead ask individuals who test positive for coronavirus to recall the other people they came into contact with, and also whether or not they live with anyone else in their homes who may have been affected.
When you were in a riot, do you remember who you were hanging out with? Well, you're the one who who else was throwing bricks with you? Was anybody lighting things on fire? Can you remember their names? We have to talk to them, too. It's purely health reasons. I just want to make sure they're not infected.
Many public health officials endorsed the protests despite previous warnings about the dangers of mass gatherings. Johnny Paycheck. It's a great song. Hundreds of officials and health professionals signed an open letter.
Woo, an open. I'm going to sign an open letter. We'll show these people we mean business.
Signed an open letter endorsing the current protests while denouncing other protests against state lockdown orders. It's always nice when people sign an open letter for their protest and then denounce other protests. It's always great to exercise your First Amendment rights while you're kicking others in the teeth for exercising theirs. Some real cement heads out in the street.
Now, we don't like that protest across town. Our protest is better. Let's go over and kick their ass. Now let's just burn their house down.
New headline. U.S. universities failed to disclose donations from Chinese government. Whoa, somebody's been saying this well over a month now. I think it's 6 weeks we broke this stuff with Harvard. Mm-hmm. Blazing the trail again. Little old us. Also, the addition from last week, we have the Thomas Paine podcast playlist. A lot of people are saying, hey, I like the music you're playing. Can you put it in a playlist? So we have that also on the patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. The video podcast links, watching a man come unglued, watching his country go down the tubes on a daily basis. So that's on there as well on the one of the subscriber benefits. I actually threw it on this weekend. I threw the playlist on this weekend. And with listening to it, I don't know how many songs there are. I pick out, together, collectively, we pick out 10, 11 songs a day, and then I choose from them on the fly while I'm talking. But you can check that out. It's interesting. It's getting a lot of good reviews, and that's keeping people happy, so that's a good thing. U.S. universities failed to disclose donations from Chinese government. This is going to be an ongoing theme, as I said, 6-7 weeks ago, into 2021. So buckle up as we learn more about these criminals posing as academics. Oh, we got music for this, too. Okay. Oh, there we go. Okay. Let me check something real quick. Not bad. Okay. A lot of these guys think they're going to go get away with this. Taking payoffs from the Chinese. Chinese Communist Party. These are Americans we're talking about. Dream on. More than 100 U.S. universities have failed to disclose foreign donations from the Chinese government, meaning the Chinese Communist Party has a bigger influence on our nation's colleges and universities than we know. An analysis from the Washington Free Beacon found that the more than 100 universities that currently host or have hosted Confucius Institutes, which are programs developed by the Chinese government to teach American students about Chinese culture and the language. It's a front. Confucius say, this is criminal front. The Department of Education requires all credentialed universities to disclose foreign gifts of more than $250,000. But only 30% of institutions with Confucius Institutes have disclosed their financial ties to Beijing, according to a review of the federal records. This was compiled by the Washington Free Beacon. The paper reached out to the 75 institutions that had Confucius Institutes but did not report funding from the Chinese government. 22 institutions replied, many of them saying they didn't need to report because they received less than $250,000 from the Chinese government. In one example, a spokesman from the University of Wisconsin-Platteville told the outlet that they didn't have to report 2019 foreign donations because it received only $246,711. I'm no federal agent, but I did play one for a while on television. I would want to check out the total amount of money the University of Wisconsin has received. Not just Platteville. They have a lot of little satellite campuses. And I would say that they have to fill out one report for all their little satellite campuses. I can see them skimming $246,000 from all their 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different satellite campuses. I mean, you know, I wouldn't put past anyone saying, well, we've reached our $246,000 limit, so Here, make this one out the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Make this one out to this branch. Make this one out to this branch. And before you know it, you got $2-3 million. Something, if you're a federal agent out there, you might want to check out. This is just me on the fly. You guys need to have a... You guys... Yeah, dream on. Yeah. This is talking about the feds investigating. Dream on. You guys have to have all these staff meetings, figure out how to investigate people. I can just figure it out on the fly. Immediately see a trapdoor right there. The Chinese government has funneled millions of dollars to American universities to support more than 100 Confucius institutes across the country. Confucius say somebody better be going to jail here. Here we go. Colleges such as the University of Michigan, University of Maryland, and Emory University, which did disclose the funding, have received $30.4 million in total for their Confucius Institutes, according to federal filings. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nothing going on there nefarious, though. Oh, by the way, University of Maryland, it's where the virology clinic is, where Mr. Redfield, the director of the CDC, worked for many years, taking a lot of money from Mr. Bill Gates, University of Maryland, under a with a doctor named Gallo, who Dr. Judy Mikovits alleges stole her, with the help of Anthony Fauci, stole her cancer research, not the her HIV research, when she was working the National Cancer Institute back in the day. So Gallo and Redfield run that shop under the flag of the University of Maryland, and they've gotten a lot of money from Mr. Gates. I don't know. It's over $100 million, I'm thinking. And we haven't done all the math yet, but we think it's somewhere in that neighborhood. Might be more through the years. Guys are unbelievable. They're really unbelievable. A headline, Chinese scientist escorted out of the Canadian biolab. He sent deadly viruses to Wuhan. Remember this one? This is kind of flew under the map. The RCMP was involved in this. It's not the one related to Harvard with Dr. Lieber and the two other grad students who were pinched for doing the same thing, trying to get quote unquote biological materials to Wuhan from the United States. This happened in Canada. Let's review this. We have some music. Oh, yeah, this keeps happening. So good. Here we go. Do a little Whitesnake. Here I go again. Here we go again. Jesus. A Chinese scientist who was escorted out of Canada's only level 4 biolab over a possible policy breach shipped deadly Ebola and Hennepin viruses to the Wuhan Institute of Virology, according to the CBC. Citing newly released documents, the shipment is not related to COVID-19 or the pandemic. Yeah, sure. Dr. Xing Gua Kui, her husband, Keding Cheng, and her Chinese students were removed from the Canadian lab after the Public Health Agency of Canada asked the RCMP to investigate several months earlier. Kui's eviction from the lab is not connected to the shipment. Sure. Sure it's not. The administrative investigation is not related to the shipment of virus samples to China, said the chief of media relations, Eric Morissette. Sure it's not. Here I go again on my own. Going down the only road I've ever known. Like a drifter, I was born to walk alone. Yeah, they were just walked out of the lab because they were just They didn't do anything wrong, right? See, you have to be able to look at these stories and read right through the bullshit. First of all, the CBC is owned by the Canadian government. So, number one, I don't believe a fucking thing they report. Basically a propaganda agency. I mean, they cover a mean hockey game, Hockey Night in Canada. Mean doubleheader, but other than that, they're about worth... worth a 50-cent coffee. As a quick recap, the Chinese scientist, her husband, and her Chinese students were escorted out of Canada's only level 4 lab for reasons unknown. Yeah, just for... Nobody knows. They were just escorted... I guess they were Leaf fans. They were Maple Leaf fans, so they were escorted out. You know. For reasons unknown, and which are not related to her shipment of deadly viruses to the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Really? Seems like that would be a good reason to escort her out. Must have been even worse then. If she wasn't escorted out for her shipment of deadly viruses to the Wuhan Institute of Virology, then whatever happened must have been even worse. It is suspicious. It is alarming. It is potentially life-threatening, said University of Ottawa law professor and epidemiologist Amir Adaran. I don't believe any of this. According to newly released documents, the following virus strains were shipped by these folks. Ebola, 3 different varieties. It's just, wow. There's all kind of stuff. 13 different things. 13 different virus strains. Yeah, doesn't sound like she was up to anything suspicious at all. Here we go again. Here I go again, right? These guys that keep popping up, these fraudsters. But I'm sure her... I like how they say... just like Libra wasn't involved. The Harvard... The director, the chairman of the biology and chemistry department. Yeah, he wasn't involved in anything having to do with coronavirus. Yeah, and just like the DOJ says, yeah, and Harvard wasn't. They didn't know anything about what Libra was doing. Yeah, okay. Right. Sure. The fact that you have to go out of your way and say that is more proof that they did. Uh-oh. Headline, Cuomo's New York, 250 inmates freed from prison, rearrested 450 times. Some good music for that one. Good job, Cuomo. At least 250 convicted and accused criminals freed from New York's Rikers Island prison have been rearrested 450 times, thanks to Governor Andrew Cuomo, his jailbreak directive. Of approximately 2,500 defendants sprung from Rikers early because of the COVID safety planning, at least 250 have been arrested again since, according to Michael Lee Petrie, Chief of Crime Control Strategies for the NYPD. Free Cuomo. Somebody sets Cuomo free. For fuck's sake, this guy. Let's rewrite the song on the fly for Cuomo. If there's 10,000 old people you want to kill, set them free in a COVID long-term care facility. Yeah. Why is this guy not under investigation by the feds, Cuomo. The consequences of the larger scale release of prisoners are now showing up in the arrest data, with those 250 reoffenders being arrested 450 times so far during the pandemic. How about if you don't love somebody, Sting, can we set them free then? Can we get rid of this guy? If we had a functional DOJ, they could help set the world free of a clown like Cuomo, who basically was killing people on purpose, as far as I'm concerned, during this quote-unquote pandemic that basically started, ended, and began and whatever and revolved around New York City and this dope Cuomo and de Blasio. One such case of the folks released from prison and rearrested involves a 27-year-old Jonathan Martinez, who has been charged in six incidents since November 2019, including forcibly touching and allegedly robbing a store. Wait a minute. How could you forcibly? Okay. That's the way it's written. It looks like he was forcibly touching a store. Obviously, you should say he was arrested, including forcible touching of an individual and also allegedly robbing a store. Where's this from? We'll find out later. Martinez was previously convicted for strangling his girlfriend in 2014. Let's set this guy free, though. On March 16th, Martinez was released from Rikers Island under Cuomo's directive. 7 days later, Martinez was arrested by the NYPD for allegedly robbing a person at knife point. After his arrest, Martinez was released without even having to pay bail, thanks to Cuomo's bail reform law that eliminated cash bail for a number of nonviolent and violent crimes. About a month later, Martinez was again arrested by the NYPD for alleged robbery. You listen to this insanity? This is insanity. Again, Martinez was released from jail. Then this month, Martinez was twice arrested for vandalizing stores in Manhattan that the owners said they struggled to reopen due to the Chinese coronavirus crisis. While the mass release of convicted and accused criminals in New York continues and violent crime surges, Mayor Bill de Blasio is vowing to cut NYPD funding. The reduction in funding for the police would come as murders have jumped 160% over the last week and burglaries are up 402%. Free, set them free. Can we set these politicians free? Put them on a fucking boat? You can get a good rate on a cruise right now. But these guys are all expense inclusive COVID-19 cruise to nowhere. There's some bad news on this one. Headline. Las Vegas police officer shot during the protests and the riots. Is paralyzed from the neck down. Shay Michelonis, a Las Vegas police officer, has been shot in the head during the anti-racism protest. Is that what it was? Is that what it was? I think it was the Get Some Free Stuff riots. Anti-credit card, anti-cash protest is more like it. This is from the Daily Wire. They're so nice to everybody. That's the way it is when you write for billionaires who have bottomless pockets. You don't have to worry about offending anybody. Me, I like to offend people. Let me rewrite this on the fly. Shay Michelonis, a Las Vegas police officer who was shot in the head during violent riots in Las Vegas, is paralyzed from the neck down, according to his family and the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department. Michelonis, who was only 29, was shot during an altercation that broke out following what had been mostly, a peaceful protest. except for the cops that were shot. I believe he was one of two cops that was shot that night, but so much for the peaceful protest narrative. Let's rewrite it again. Mick Alonis, who was only 29, was shot during an altercation that broke out the night two other, or at least one other police officer was shot during a riot on the Las Vegas Strip on June 1st. That sounds better. Las Vegas police, who have a suspect in custody related to the shooting, appear to believe that Mick Alonis was targeted because he was an in-uniform officer. Prosecutors have charged a 20-year-old man with deliberately shooting Mick Alonis during the protest. Let's go back over. These guys at the Daily Wire. Kumbaya of journalism. There's no place. Pick a side. Prosecutors have charged a 20-year-old man with deliberately shooting Mick Alonis during the riot, one of the hundreds being held across the nation. A judge who reviewed evidence at a June 5th court hearing said the police video shows Edgar Samaniego walking by, taking out a gun, and firing at officers. He is charged with attempted murder, battery, and firearms charges and is being held in lieu of $1 million. Daily Wire, you don't get $1 million bail for acting up at a peaceful protest. Mick Alonis' family released a statement Sunday evening updating the public on Shea's condition. Shea's on a ventilator and will remain so. He's also paralyzed from the neck down and unable to speak. Shea's awake and seems to recognize his family members, the family noted. Across the country, approximately 700 federal, state, and local law enforcement officers have sustained injuries in clashes with demonstrators, according to Justice Department data. Doesn't sound like these are peaceful protests, guys. Remember that when you're writing this stuff. Ben Shapiro's outfit over there. Call it like it is or don't write anything. Jay Inslee, he's the governor of the dopey governor of Washington State, laughs about Antifa's rebellion in Seattle. What do we got? Oh, yeah, we got it right here. This dopey governor picked out a song just for him. I'll take a drink as Patsy Cline tells you all about Jay Inslee.
Crazy. I'm crazy for feeling so lonely.
As Antifa militants have taken over six blocks of Seattle's Capitol Hill district, calling it the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone or the People's Republic of Capitol Hill, Governor Jay Inslee laughed about the open rebellion, saying he hadn't heard about it. Inslee added that the National Guard is demobilizing, and his chief of staff suggested that even if an open rebellion had broken out on the streets of Seattle, it would be up to local authorities to fight it. These same local authorities who ran away like little sissies from the police precinct. They had like boxes with their stuff in it. Let's get out of here. Here they come. Here they don't have guns. They have bongs, but they look pretty scary. Let's get the hell out of here. A reporter asked Inslee about the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone during the governor's press conference on Wednesday, noting that the Antifa militants had shut down part of the city and were not allowing people to come and go freely. He did not mention the fact that Antifa had commanded and commandeered the Seattle Police East Precinct. That's news to me. So I'll have to reserve any comment about it. I have not heard anything about that from any credible source, Inslee said with a chuckle. Inslee maybe watched Twitter with the police, with their boxes of stuff vacating the police precinct. Do they have the internet in Washington State?
Not that you're not credible. It's just before I espouse an opinion, I should know which of which I speak. What has that ever stopped you before, Inslee? Fucking dummy. He laughed again after giving the response. The reporter responded with a follow-up question, asking whether or not Inslee would bring the National Guard to open up the city when protesters, I call them invaders, interlopers, not protesters. Where's this from? Who knows? Had erected barricades to block streets.
You know, that's hypothetical. Look, well, we've got to have safety. I'm sure that people will find a way to have public safety everywhere in the state. I'm confident of that,
Inslee said.
National Guard is demobilizing. Over two-thirds of them are demobilized as of yesterday.
It's a good time to send the National Guard home. When a bunch of dirty hippies take your state capital over, I guess it's state capital, I'm thinking. Even sadder, however, Inslee's chief of staff, David Postman, insisted that putting down an insurrection with the National Guard was a matter for local authorities to take care of. Seattle police last seen hitchhiking from the precinct that they vacated. Can't even make it up. Oh, here he is. New headline. Where are we at? 37 minutes. All right, we're doing good. De Blasio is out sick after marching in protest. He refuses a COVID test despite symptoms and orders to New Yorkers. Wait a minute. Isn't everybody supposed to be tested, huh? Ooh, everybody's got to get tested. Everybody's got to get a vaccine. Except these people. You think they're going to give their kids vaccines? Think they're going to take Bill Gates' poison vaccines? No. Do as I say, not as I do. Nobody in their right mind is going to line up their kid to have Gates put battery acid in their arm or themselves. This guy de Blasio, he changes all the time. He's a chameleon. Oh, yeah. He's COVID chameleon. Says do this, then do that, then do this, do that. He's COVID chameleon. De Blasio, yeah. Blasio has repeatedly told New York residents to get tested for the coronavirus. In fact, made free testing available. But he took a sick day Monday after marching with thousands of protesters on Sunday. COVID chameleon. And de Blasio is still refusing to get tested for the coronavirus. The mayor woke up under the weather. He's taking the day to recuperate, and we should be back to normal programming tomorrow, spokesman Freddie Goldstein said. We don't believe it's COVID-related. How the fuck would you know, Freddie? Freddie, F-R-E-D-D-I. Never seen Freddie spot, though. Everybody wants to be so goddamn special. Gothamist reported that the office said de Blasio was suffering gastrointestinal symptoms. That would make sense. He's full of shit. COVID chameleon. The city's Department of Health includes gastrointestinal symptoms like nausea, vomiting, or diarrhea as reported symptoms of COVID-19. But don't worry, he doesn't have it. He's sick because he's full of shit. That's on the gastrointestinal symptom sheet of being a Democrat. In an April study out of Stanford University said loss of appetite, nausea, and diarrhea were reported among the third of COVID-19 patients. Like I said, this is
nausea and diarrhea also reported among at least a third of DNC members. Don't worry, COVID chameleon, he's going to bounce back. He'll be back in his ivory palace telling you how to live your life. He'll be back in his ivory palace, don't worry. Hopefully now he's on the porcelain palace for a while. That'll show him. Want to march in the street, pal? COVID chameleon. I like that one. I just got that one on the fly. Headline. Uh-oh. 54 scientists given National Institutes of Health grants in the United States have been fired for failure to disclose foreign ties. I like how they don't really tell you in the headline where the foreign ties are. I'll tell you with the song. At least 54 scientists who received grants from the National Institutes of Health have been fired for failure to disclose their ties to foreign governments, particularly China, according to an ongoing investigation. The NIH, since 2018, has been investigating instances of fraud by scientists who received federal grant money. In 93% of the cases investigated by the NIH, these scientists failed to disclose their ties to China. Nearly $165 million in grants have been disbursed to those scientists. That's a lot of rice, folks. $165. That's a lot of dough. Three-quarters of the scientists found to have hidden their ties to foreign governments like China had active NIH grants. Doesn't Bowie said, "Oh, baby, just shut your mouth"? I think they did that. NIH identified 399 scientists of possible concern, according to Science Magazine. The FBI confirmed that at least 30% or 121 individuals lied about their ties to foreign governments. Unbelievable. Yeah, that's he says. I said this back when we were doing the Harvard blowout. I forget what podcast it was. It's, I don't know. You have to look at the list. Podcast maybe 23 or something about Harvard. 22, something like that. About Lieber and all the money Harvard, billions with a B they've taken from the Chinese. Compromised upside down and sideways. It's insane. And now, let me ask you guys something. Where are the indictments? You know, these NIH grants aren't like for fucking $100,000. They're $5, $6, $7 million at a pop. Some are $15, $4 million, $9 million. And I'll go back to my Thomas Paine, Mike Moore investigative math. When the government tells you something costs $165 million, double or triple it. Take that $165 million and turn it into $500 million real quick. Half a billion. And you'll have a better number representing. These guys are schemers. The findings provide evidence that China has amplified its efforts to place its scientists into sensitive U.S.-funded research programs. Once in the National Institute of Health system, these scientists can steal research and send it back to China, where it can be used to boost the communist regime. Congress has been concerned about stolen U.S. scientific research for some time. Bullshit. Bull fucking shit. If they were, both of the Clintons would be sitting in federal prison from when he was president and she was running the White House and all the schemes. Don't hand me that bullshit. Where's this from? Probably some geek magazine. Congress doesn't give a shit. They're all getting money on the back end, getting greased and paid off, believe me. A 2019 investigation by the Senate Permanent Select Committee on Investigations found that Chinese scientists enlisted in the country's Thousand Talents Program, which recruits overseas researchers to bring their talents back to China, set up a shadow labs in China, and in some cases transfer U.S. scientists' hard-earned intellectual capital. No shit. We don't need a fucking Senate Permanent Select Committee investigation on this. This is common fucking sense, common knowledge. Just what we need, another federal investigation to tell us common sense shit we already knew before the investigation started. This is going to heat up, folks. I'm telling you, this is going to heat up. I think. On our side, on True Pundit side, on my side with the podcast and following it through, it's going to be a candy store for the next year with places like Harvard and some of these other scientists running around. National Institute of Health. The underbelly of the government medical community, which is basically a daisy chain of fraudsters and schemers and criminals. We had a functional Justice Department, these people would be on the hot seat right now. We don't have a functional Justice Department. We don't have any Justice Department. I don't know what we have. I think it's more of a criminal cartel in itself than anything. And it's there to protect places like Harvard and other places. The rich, the elites, the folks, the puppet masters who run this country. There was another story I wanted to get a quick look at. Where are we at? 48 minutes. This is what Barr is doing, okay? This is what Barr is doing. Instead of investigating these guys and putting them in jail, he's threatening to charge John Bolton if he releases his book. That's where this guy's head's at. It would be up to Attorney General William Barr to issue any charges against Bolton. Trump was talking about that today. Barr echoed Trump's accusations. During an event at the White House, the Attorney General said administrative and administration officials who have had access to sensitive information typically sign non-disclosure agreements that require them to go through a clearance process before they can publish something based on information they accessed in the job. Yeah, I'm sure they're really going to charge Bolton. This is more bullshit. We don't believe that Bolton went through this process, hasn't completed the process, and therefore is in violation of the agreement, Barr said. The Trump administration is trying to get them to complete the process, go through the process, and make the necessary deletions of classified information, Barr said. Bolton's book, The Room Where It Happened, a White House memoir, was supposed to be released in March. Its release date was twice delayed, and it's now set to be released next week by publisher Simon & Schuster. Bolton covers an array of topics, chaos in the White House, but also assessments of major players, the president's inconsistent, scattershot decision-making process, and his dealings with allies and enemies alike, from China, Russia, Ukraine, North Korea, Iran, United Kingdom, France, Germany, according to the publisher. I am hard-pressed to identify any significant Trump decision during my tenure that wasn't driven by re-elections calculations, Bolton writes in the book, according to a news release from the publisher. I would be very surprised if Barr ever charged Bolton with anything. Bolton is a Bush guy. Barr is a Bush guy. You have to read between the lines of these things. This is a lot of posturing, chest beating. It's all bullshit. Barr wants to come out and make it look like, oh, we'll keep Bolton in check. Yeah, you haven't prosecuted anybody in the FBI for releasing classified information to the media and to other people. As soon as you do that, Barr, maybe I believe that you would do something against John Bolton. At this point, John Bolton's mustache has a better chance of being indicted by Barr. Yeah, I wanted to point that out because that's looking a little fishy, this whole thing. And what else was there? There was something else. Potentially, it was breaking late. I don't know. We'll tackle it on Pain in the Morning on tomorrow along. You have the other podcast too, which I think is going to be very interesting. You're going to want to follow up on last week's podcast with some really unique insights about what's going on inside the Justice Department when it comes to people like Gates and the Clintons. This is why I can talk from a position of strength about Mr. Barr, who I largely think was put in place to make sure Trump wasn't reelected. But let's see how it plays out. So far, so good on my predictions, all the way across the board on Barr. We'll see. And indicting some patsy that nobody ever heard of in the DOJ or FBI is not going to work. They probably have that up their sleeve. You need to indict the A-listers. And then maybe I'll change my tune if I see enough of them indicted. One's not going to cut it. Be a good start, but looks like Biden's gaining ground in a lot of polls. We'll see how accurate those are as time goes on. Or whether he's the final selection of a Democratic front runner. That's also up in the air. A lot of stuff going on. So we appreciate the folks on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. Get to watch the podcast, the video podcast, which is a different experience than just listening. And also get the playlist and everything we put out. And we appreciate the support. And we also appreciate the folks who are out there listening. We'll be back tomorrow, Pain in the Morning, as well as the Big Wednesday podcast. As I always say at the end of every show, people say, you should come up with something witty at the end of the show, like a sign-off. Like Paul Harvey or guys like that. They had a sign-off. My sign-off right now is God bless you. And take care.
Down to Gonky Park, listening to the wind of change. An August summer night, soldiers passing by, listening to the wind of change. Thank you.
that we could be so close, like brothers. The future's in the air, can feel it everywhere. I'm blowing with the wind of change.
Into the phase of time, like a storm wind that we're